This is part two of the oral history interview with Jane Schrader. Jane, before we move on to Deschutes County, let's talk a little bit more about Wasco. Do you want to talk about some of the programs and maybe some of the experiences you had giving trainings?
You know, you think back of all of the wonderful experiences that happened while you were in a job, and the person who bends it, my feeling is the person who benefits the most from doing some of these trainings is the benefit that we get and learn from other people. And of course, the whole basis for the adult study group programs is to help people help themselves. And thrown in a little bit of leadership skills to go along with it. And those experiences make that person be a better citizen in their community and become involved, because it opens their world to more than just working in their own homes. And sharing, they became 4-H club leaders and were extension, part of what we call the extension family that was involved. And in the rural communities, this was the whole basis for group activity oftentimes. But I think of an experience when I would do some trainings in Maupin, which was in the southern part of the county, so that the people that lived in Antelope didn't have as far to travel. They wouldn't have to come to the Dalles for the training programs. And this grange hall had, I needed to get there early enough to start the wood stove and get it warm before the people came for the training. And this was a training that we did, one of the things that we did within the training, and that there were other things, but I remember the white sauce technique that I was teaching. Mm-hmm. And it was different than the techniques that they were using. And it was hard for them to accept to change the method in which they made white sauce. And that ended up being a good experience for learning another method. Sometimes, we get set in our ways and we don't want to change. Mm-hmm. And there was one homemaker in particular that couldn't see any difference in the technique that I demonstrated than what she used. And I just used it as an example. If you're happy with the way you're using and you don't feel that you want to change, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. And this is the way we learn. But when we, the training, the location of the Grange Hall, I can't remember the name of the Grange Hall, but that wood stove and building the fire and having an old stove that the mice enjoyed as much as anything, probably because it was warm and they didn't freeze to death if they crawled in the oven with the pilot light. But it was a learning experience for me, mm-hmm. and I learned a lot by that. Mm-hmm. And I also learned a lot with handling of automobiles, because one of the responsibilities that was given when I was doing a training program for another person that wanted to become an extension agent was also to teach her how to drive. And we arrived in the little town of Doofer, mm-hmm. which is south of the Dalles, and needed gas, and I had let this gal drive, and I always bought gas at probably the only station in Doofer that had gas, and he was so proud of his new gas tanks that you used for the to fill up the tanks. And the gal didn't slow down enough when she turned in, and she drove up over the curve and put a great big dent in his brand new tank.
Oh, no.
So I wasn't a very good teacher in driving.
What was it like? I mean, you must have driven all over the counties there by yourself.
Oh, yes, yes.
In all weathers?
And I could write a book on some of those experiences.
Yeah.
Like the time we took a shortcut south of Tie Valley. And there'd been a washout on the road that we started down, and the road just didn't look very good. And so I asked the women if they'd like to walk down rather than ride down with me, because I wasn't sure that I could. I was so far into the bad road, I couldn't back up. It was a hill. Mm-hmm. And they walked down, and they were glad they did, but I finally made it to the bottom of the hill. It was the worst road I've ever driven on. There are so many wonderful experiences. Ty Valley Fair, County Fair, of course, Extension is always involved in fairs because of the 4-H Club members and the exhibits that they have. And because of the fair being in Ty Valley, oftentimes you set up your tent and stayed the whole time at the fairgrounds rather than drive back and forth to the Dalles. I would guess it's probably maybe 50 miles to the fairgrounds from the Dalles. Beautiful setting on a river, and lots of activity. It was a big event, and still is. And I forgot what I was going to tell now. Just the location of the fairgrounds was, and I'm not sure the history of why that particular location was chosen as the mm-hmm. as the fair site rather than the Dalles, but it made a beautiful. It was flat land. Mm-hmm. But
did you every year then go to the county fairs?
Oh yes, yeah. And judging of contests for 4-H Club members as well as adults, there were what we called open class exhibits. Mm-hmm. And there were people who did just beautiful stitchery work mm-hmm. and would compete. I remember another surprise to me, because I'd never experienced the activity before, but at the fairgrounds, it was always a big discussion among the fair board members as to how to handle the beer drinking at the fair. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, they built a beer garden with a fence around it. And if you wanted to drink beer, you had to go into this beer garden, and that way they could control the drinking mm-hmm. on the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. and it didn't interfere with others that wanted to come to the fair and mm-hmm. not have to experience the beer drinkers. Mm-hmm. And that was a new experience mm-hmm. for me. The animal show and the horses were big activities in Wasco County, and the dressage of the women riding was a wonderful thing to observe. Mm-hmm. Judges, when you have fairs, there are people that have been trained to be judges, and this was one of our responsibilities as extension agents. And oftentimes we would go to other fairs and judge at those fairs. That was just expected of us mm-hmm. to trade back and forth mm-hmm. with the different counties and judge. And that was that opened up many, many avenues of the differences in the different communities and learning experiences of 4-H members. Mm-hmm. I can remember one time there was a little girl. I was judging at this particular fair, and I don't remember the county, but this little girl was doing a demonstration on baking cookies, and she was very, very, very nervous. And she, her mother was the only person out in the audience that was watching this demonstration, mm-hmm. and of course the mother was kind of wringing her hands and worrying about her little girl. And the little girl, I think, observed that her mother was nervous, and so she became nervous. Mm-hmm. And by the time she got the batter together enough to make a dough, she started eating part of it, or licking the spoon, or things that you know you're not really supposed yeah. to do in a demonstration. And the mother just came so mortified. And by the time the little girl got her cookie dough ready to put into the cookie sheet to bake, I think that there was only half of the batter left.
Oh, no.
But this is the way we learn. This is mm-hmm. the way we grow. Another experience with a cooking demonstration was a boy that wanted to be a chef, and he took a 4-H Foods project, and he was the only boy among these kids, and this was in Wasco County. No, I'm sorry, this was in Deschutes County. But he was just a natural with being able to talk to the public and was not upset, not disturbed, not scared. And he got ready to roll out the dough with his rolling pin, and he'd forgotten to bring his rolling pin. And he just looked over at the judge, and he said, would you excuse me just a moment? And he disappeared. And when he came back, he was had a Coke bottle that he was holding. And so then when it came time to roll out the dough, he took this Coke bottle and rolled out his dough. And the judge gave him credit for being innovative, but she also reminded him if he'd make a list of what he needed in his demonstration, then those kinds of things wouldn't happen.
He probably never forgot it again.
He probably didn't. Yeah. This is the way we learn, by our mistakes.
Yeah.
But demonstrations for 4-H kids is probably one of the most educational tools that they could be involved in, because they have to, they learn many things by preparing a demonstration and doing it away from home. They learn a lot.
So even though you were the home ec agent, you obviously worked closely with 4-H and...
Yes, and more so in Wasco County than in Deschutes County, because the first person that goes to work in a county is the ag agent. That's usually, and some of the smaller counties only had ag agents, and then sometimes we as home economists would go over and help those counties with home economics programs. It was a varying thing depending upon where the locations were. But in Wasco County, well, the first person is the ag agent, then the next person is the home economist, and then the next person was a 4-H club agent. And oftentimes that 4-H club agent was a man, and then if it was a large county like Marion County or Lane County, then there would be a man 4-H agent and a woman 4-H agent to handle the home economics part of the program. And in Wasco County, we had an ag agent. I was the home economist, and then we had a man 4-H club agent. And those were the three that were in our county. When I moved to Deschutes County, we had an agriculture agent, we had a home economist, we had a man agent, and a woman 4-H agent. So it was a real variable, and most of the counties that are more heavily populated had, of course, more agents. And one of the programs that deviated away from the traditional ag and home ec trainings was a leadership program that the state of Oregon was really put on the map for, with their training for people to become good leaders. And when we were in the Dalles, there used to be a restaurant, and I kind of think it was called the Old Mill Restaurant. I know it was on the Columbia River. And so the staff from Corvallis came to do trainings. Mabel Mack was a longtime agent, and probably in your interviews or some of the others have mentioned Mabel. And the trainings were held in a location to handle everybody, but then we went out for dinner afterwards and went to this Old Mill restaurant. And after we ate dinner at the Old Mill and went back to our hotels, in my case I went back home, that night the mill burnt. The restaurant burnt. And so everybody chuckled the next day at the training about the extension leadership must have burnt the Old Mill. Of course we didn't. Leadership training is kind of the name of the game with a lot of the trainings that I was involved with. If you are in a group and you come and take a lesson to take back to your own group, you're going to learn skills that you wouldn't if you just went to school to learn how to do it yourself. You have to learn it well enough and practice enough that you become skilled and learn a lot in leadership. The extension, well, let's talk about some other activities in Wasco County. The Celilo Indians.
Okay.
Was a community 8 miles, 6 to 8 miles east of the Dalles. And during the time that I was agent in Wasco County, the Indians had a traumatic thing happen to them. Mm-hmm. The Dalles Dam was built, which meant that they would lose their fishing rights on the Columbia River that had been there for years and years and years and years.
This and is because the water would back up behind the dam
and inundate the where they fished. So the water level was so much higher that the falls just weren't there to fish anymore. Mm-hmm. And everybody, I think, probably at one time or another has seen pictures of Celilo Falls and the Indians fishing. Very dangerous work, and they were very skilled at their building their great big dip nets. And during the season of the salmon run, and I can't remember the length of time, probably a month maybe, when they would take advantage of the fish spawning, going upriver to spawn, and became very skilled. And the families had their own platforms for doing their fishing that they would build when the water level was lower and not as dangerous to build those platforms. And
these platforms then extended out over the river, over the falls?
All over the falls. And then in addition, to get to those platforms that they built, they had geared up little trolleys that you ride in to scoot over to the dam or to the platform to be able to fish. Mm-hmm. And all the tributaries of water coming down, they'd dip their nets and come up with huge salmon that were just, it was fascinating to watch. It was better than any movie I've ever been to. Mm-hmm. And it was so new to me, having lived in Kansas and never had any salmon except a can of canned salmon that we would open and it was already cooked. Mm-hmm. And the activities that the Indians did during the harvest of the salmon, by the planked salmon. Have you ever tasted planked salmon?
I'm not sure that I have.
They build an open fire pit and then put the salmon, weave the salmon onto the stick and season it. And that salmon just melts in your mouth after that's roasted. And the activity and the games that go along with it, and the Indians from other tribes would come to Celilo for those events and activities. And something that's been lost that can never be brought back. Mm-hmm. That it's something we miss.
Mm-hmm. Were you there? Or do you remember when the river rose?
Definitely. When I first moved there in 1952, they were just closing out a canal that you could actually take a boat and drive from the Dalles out to Celilo Falls from the Dalles. And that was closed off earlier, but it was beginning to interfere with the construction of the dam, and so that was the first thing that happened. And it was many years for them to build the dam. And so during the construction of the dam, the Indians still could do their fishing during that season. A story I might tell about the fishing and during the season is when that happened, it was just like a village in itself, and there were people standing watching the fish, the Indians do their fishing, dip netting, and many of them were photographers. And we had a camera club in the Dalles, of which I was a member, and we'd all go out there and spend hours taking pictures of Indians catching salmon, dipping their nets, waiting for the light to be right, and so forth. But one Sunday, Life magazine was there to take pictures of the Indians, and as they were fishing, and there was, they didn't always fish from platforms. There were little tributaries that came down where the water level would just really be flooding down, and they'd dip their nets down in, hoping to catch a salmon. And in this particular instance, this fellow dipped his net down in just as a little boy above him fell into the stream. And instead of getting a salmon in his net, he caught the little boy in the net and didn't even know that the little boy had fallen down. Mm. And that was in the Life magazine, the full page spread on the back. And of course, the Dalles was real proud of that picture. Mm. And I'm sure that the man that got the little boy was very proud that he dipped his net at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to look for that picture. I wonder what year that is.
I would guess 53, 54, somewhere along there. I can't remember how long it took. It took a while for the dam to be built, but the Dalles Camera Club, which put together a slideshow of the Indians fishing, and it was a very popular program that we did. We set it to music and commentary on the pictures that we saw, and Wilma Roberts probably took 60% of the pictures, but she was a beautiful photographer, and we can be real proud of those pictures, and it's something that we need to preserve.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have your pictures of the?
I have a few, but they're not like Wilma's.
Okay, could you talk a little bit about Wilma? She was professional photographer?
Wilma and another fellow owned a photography shop in the Dalles, and Mello's Camera Shop. And Wilma just had a knack for taking good pictures. She knew what she had to do to take a good picture, and her strong suit were the pictures she took of the Celilos fishing, and the other strong suit that she had was Sherman County wheat fields. And Wasco County wheat fields, and of course, having come from flat Kansas, we grew wheat, but they were all on flat land, and the hills, I just couldn't believe that wheat could grow on those hills because they were so steep, and there'd be these big flooded areas where it would rain and wash all the silt down to the bottom of the hill, and they still raised wheat, but Wilma could just sit on a stump waiting for the right light to happen, and got beautiful pictures of the wheat growing as it ripened in the harvest. Mm. And so those were her two strong suits. But she was an excellent photographer, and we all, the Dalles, can feel good about some of the pictures that she taught classes in photography for many years and would travel around throughout the United States and give her workshop pictures. She would come down to Deschutes County at Donna Gill's Guest Ranch, and the photographers that would come for this training to learn would come every year because they appreciated and enjoyed. She'd get the farmers the cowboys that had horses to do demonstration thunder runs, so that they could get the pictures of the horses in the dust. And And this was all part of the workshop, and so these people that were retired had time to come and join the class each year because they got so many experiences and had so much fun.
Hmm. Could you go back again to the falls? You said you were there when the water was rising. How was that? I mean,
oh, it was a very dramatic experience. The engineering of building a dam on the Columbia River, when you think about the quantity of water that flows down that river, my first thought would be it's just impossible. But, you know, there have been bigger dams built. Yeah. And the closing of the, or the opening of the dam, I guess I should say, was, you know, activity took place, and you watched the water level rise behind the dam, and the beginning to worry about the salmon and whether they could get on up the river to spawn, and it was dramatic may not be the right word to use, because it was technology that generates electricity, mm-hmm. and for movement forward in the eyes of some and in the eyes of others, it was very destroying.
Yeah, I've heard or read accounts of Indian or women that were there just after the water rose, and then there was just a silence when you could no longer hear the rapids.
And
it's very sad.
It was a form of death. The word death for many people was a part of that. You know, there were two sides to it: the gladness of what it was doing for progress, and then the sadness of losing what they had. And there is one location that the Indians can still fish off of platforms, and that's at Shearer's Bridge, which is on the Deschutes River. Between Tie Valley and Wasco or Sherman County, okay. But it's not anything compared to what was lost on the Columbia River. Mm-hmm. It was a community that now, as you drive by on the freeway, there's a sign that says Celilo Park, and it's used more for windsurfers. Mm-hmm. You don't see any fishing done at all. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the fall they may put their boats in at Celilo Falls for sturgeon fishing. Mm-hmm. But going back to Wasco County, Wasco County for extension agents, a lot of it was wheat farming for the agricultural agent. Mm-hmm. And a 4-H was a very strong program in Wasco County. And the home economics program I was probably the third agent that came to Wasco County. Francis Harvey, an agent that had worked in several counties in Oregon, after she was in Wasco County, she went to, I can't think of the name of the county, Ashland. What's the name of the county?
I'm going to say it's not Douglas, it's south of there.
It's farther south.
Yeah.
But Francis was set the stage and did a lot of organization in the 4-H Club program as well as the Adult Home Economics program. Mm-hmm. And I felt very fortunate to follow in her footsteps. I mm-hmm. learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing about being an extension agent. We're hired to teach and help people help themselves. But I feel that many of the things that I know now I've learned from the people I worked with, mm-hmm. and I value that experience.
And I think other people who have worked with you, they talked about you as being an excellent mentor.
Well, of course, I probably could get them into trouble real easy, especially when it comes to driving. Yes, Donna Gregerson was one of the gals. Nancy Weber, a gal who now she and her husband own a assisted living place in Bend, and mm-hmm. and her husband I worked with when I was on the Central Oregon Council on Aging board, and Donna Gregerson, who became county agent or staff chairman eventually in Benton County. Mm-hmm. And I guess the philosophy of watching and being involved in what we do is a form of training program, and some things I probably did right, and some things they just as soon not have learned. Mm-hmm. But it's a people's program, and the program in Wasco County as well as in Deschutes County, and perhaps because I'm remembering Deschutes County, it wasn't quite as long ago as Wasco County. The programs that the women that were in the extension study groups that met once a month and and I provided the trainings for their leadership programs, were programs that helped them be better homemakers and help their families, partly through 4-H club work and partly through the adult women who attended these classes and learned, and then there were leadership skills that were learned at the same time. The upholstery classes were upholstery is a hard job. It's hard work. It's expensive to buy all of the materials to even be in the workshop. But the satisfaction that they got from having a chair that they had reupholstered and it was beautiful, it was just like new, it was a wonderful feeling that they had of an accomplishment that they were very proud of. And furniture refinishing kind of fell in the same category of being able to make like new that old furniture that looked so horrible before. Those were workshops that were not just one meeting. They were, we would try, the upholstery workshop, we'd try to find a place where we could do the workshops and leave the chairs, because that was something that would be hard to take home every day and then bring everything back the following week. Very intense training program, and some followed through and actually made careers of doing some of the work that they had learned through extension. But the extension study groups ranged in age from newlyweds to seniors. And I think specifically of a group in Bend where if it was a nutrition program that was offered, why, there were these two people that would always be the leaders because they were such good cooks. And that, in my eyes, they might have been good cooks, but they also were good leaders. They knew how to reteach the people in their groups. In Deschutes County, we had, at one time, we had 36 groups that met monthly. And then we added to those 36 groups young homemaker groups specifically. And oftentimes the young homemaker groups would meet at night because more and more the young homemakers were working during the daytime, but they still wanted to be able to develop new skills to make them be better homemakers. And the extension study groups, because of the times, because of many women working again, the need for those groups has minimized, and I'm not sure I can put my finger on why that is the case. The technology that has come forth, the prepared foods, we could make a list a mile long of the reasons why the programs aren't as interested in continuing.
So when you moved to Deschutes County, you lived in Redmond.
Right.
That's right. And you soon had two children.
Yes.
Was it unusual for a woman to be working and have a career? And
well, it became more common as it happened. It was hard work, sure. You do a day of training and come home and you think, oh, what can I fix for dinner? And my husband was very helpful in helping to raise the children. He had a job at that he could go off, and when he locks the front door to the furniture store, why, it was easy to forget his job. My job entailed a lot of night meetings. It entailed traveling to Corvallis for training to help me be a better teacher, to help the people that I worked with in the counties. There were pluses for having this job, because of what I learned from working with people and what I learned from Corvallis. We had specialists in each of the fields that we worked with, and the family life specialist, Roberta Anderson, have in the archives, mm-hmm. and Roberta just lived her job, just did a beautiful job of helping us to help the people in our counties with programs. Mm-hmm. The programs were determined by an advisory committee, and this was a membership of 15 to 18 people that would determine each year what our programs might be for the following year. Mm-hmm. And so we would attempt to have a variety in the programs. We'd attempt to determine what the needs were. And any one given year, there might be more concentration of food programs. There was a period of time when sewing and learning to use a sewing machine and learning how to take care of it, learning how to do different construction, tailoring, for example, as compared to making a blouse. Or there was a push to, at one time, for making men's shirts. Mm. Well, I don't know very many women today that make men's shirts because of the other involvements that that women become interested in and participate in. Many of them are working, and there isn't time to make shirts. There were times when a sewing machine was a necessity in a home. That isn't true anymore. I'm not sure who takes care of the mending. Maybe it's just throw it away.
I think that happens. That's what I tend to do. Okay. Let's take another break. This is the end of part two.
Okay.